History through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, presented on the air and online by Provident Payments, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you, no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are some stories there, right there around you, that should not go untold. And what we've learned is they don't have to go untold. If we'll just take a little time to ask a few questions, and maybe more importantly, be patient enough to listen to what comes back our way. And when we visit with these World War II veterans, the story's not always the same. It's not always going overseas and being in a foxhole or getting shot down or being a prisoner of war. There are so many ways that so many Americans contributed that it's important that we remember. So we want to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice. We want to preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And along the way, we learn a lot. We're educated, we're entertained, and so often we are inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada. Well, actually Henderson, Nevada, with 94-year-old, soon to be 95-year-old, Lester Bergwart Jr. But you didn't grow up around Henderson, Nevada, a very different climate. Tell me where you spent your early years.
Oh, I was born and raised in Hamburg, New York. It's just a little cow town south of Buffalo on a farm, dairy farm. So I've had the experience of milking cows and cleaning out the barn. That was my after school activity. I think some sophisticated people call that the extracurricular activities. Mine was half of the barn. My brother got the other half, the smaller half, to clean. Anyway, when I found out about World War II, was milking cows. There is quite a time differential between Honolulu and Hamburg, New York. Anyway, it was that was a Sunday afternoon, and it didn't mean much to me because, Hawaiian Islands? My goodness, that was something in the movies, and as such, I let it roll off. It wasn't until I went to school Monday morning that, wow, everyone was excited. The seniors were discussing where they were going to go, whether it was Army or Navy, Marines. And it was still a mystery to me as a dumb farm kid.
And you would have only been 15 at the time.
That would be right. Yeah. I think if my math is somewhere near correct. So, maybe anyway. As time went by and graduation came closer, yes, the Navy was my pick. I wasn't about to be drafted and so forth. So, like my fellow classmates, the males, we joined some service, and I joined the Navy. The Navy offered the V-5, V-12 program, which were college programs. Somehow or other, I passed the entrance exam for that program. I wound up in Swarthmore College. Now, not to be confused with Skidmore. You chuckled on that one, Skidmore being a female college.
Yeah, that would have been a tough one to get into.
So anyway, yeah, I did wind up in Swarthmore, mostly gals there, plus a group of Chinese officers who were learning English and the American way, and young fellas such as myself. Well, that was quite a jump from high school to collegiate, and particularly Swarthmore. It wasn't what I signed up for. I wanted the Navy. Well, little did I know that was the entrance to the commission. I blew it and asked for a transfer before I flunked out.
And I want to circle back to that with you and hear that whole story. But I'm also curious because some of the people who are listening to this are young people, and their life today is a little bit different from your life as a young boy growing up in upstate New York. So I'd love to give them some perspective on what life was like as a boy growing up on a dairy farm where it snows for several months at winter. What did you like and what did you not like about that situation?
Riding your bike on an icy street 2 miles into town. Now, this is secondary. Elementary school was done in a little room, very nice school building, and it was just through the woods, and there it was, maybe a quarter of a mile as a crow flies. But then to graduate from elementary school to go into high school, wow, that was quite a jump for a country boy.
And how big was Hamburg? What do you think the population was?
Well, at that time, on Friday night, when everyone's came in for supplies and what have you, movie theater and what, maybe 4,500. As I said, our place was 2 miles out of town. So across the street was the fairgrounds. The nearest neighbor of my age would be a quarter of a mile.
The cows were your neighbors.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we had a sheep or two. Those lambs, for some reason or other, would choose to be born on the coldest or wettest night of the year. And so they would be kept warm behind the kitchen stove. That may seem kind of crude to folks who have never had a wood stove. Your mother cooked on electric or gas if you were in town. But we had wood-fired kitchen stove, and it was nice and warm. It was a good place. And the chickens that were hatched in the cold were warmed in back of that kitchen stove, just as the lambs were kept warm on their first few nights. It was different, and everyone knew that down the street was that family, and they were great neighbors. And likewise in the other direction, oh, on the other side of the woods were the kids I went to elementary school with, farm kids. However, our little town of Armour, which was a crossroads out of Hamburg, was a cross-section of factory workers who worked in Buffalo for the plant, the cereal, the grain, the shipping. And when the Depression hit, it was horrible. We were fortunate. We had pork from our own pigs, beef from our own beef, and chickens. That was a standard Sunday dinner. No turkeys, no ducks, no geese. But it was a farm life. Gee, we went fishing in the little stream that went through our pasture. It was great. I hated it when I was a kid. I did not appreciate what is happening. And honest to gosh, it would be so marvelous for these kids on the street corners with nothing to do but play marbles, if they had marbles.
A couple things I'm wondering. First of all, how old were you when you had to start milking cows?
Oh, good gracious. 7 or 8 at the most. And that's when I would squirt the milk to the cats who would line up in back of the cow waiting to be hit with a stream of warm milk. So, yeah, I had real good forearm development, believe me.
I bet you did. And you also mentioned that during the Depression, the folks from the neighboring town who worked in Buffalo at the factory, those jobs disappeared. So you saw how this was affecting other families, but it didn't affect your family as much? Was that what you were saying?
All my neighbors were on WPA, which was a government program. If you were the breadwinner for the family, you got X number of dollars per month, depending upon the number of kids you had to feed. Wood would be delivered, keep your house warm, to feed the cook stove. Flour would be dropped off, and there were WPA workers who would go from door to door dropping these supplies off. If you were a cigarette smoker, guess what? You got little bags of tobacco and the papers to roll your own cigarette. Looking back, it would be hysterical for a number of people to take a look at that. But in retrospect, it was a hell of a good time.
It kind of sounds like it brought people together in their shared struggle.
Right. My dad turned up sick with pneumonia one winter. And you know, those cows never missed the milking on time. Why? Because the neighbors came in and did the chores. It was wonderful. In school, the WPA kids would have hot lunch served, if nothing more than a bowl of tomato soup that would frequently be curdled because they were not cooks. They were ladies who had nothing else to do. Anyway, you may know of what curdled tomato soup looks like. Well, I watched them eating that stuff while I had beautiful beef sandwiches. I trade those beef sandwiches with homemade bread for an onion sandwich with bakery bread. Oh, bakery bread was fantastic. But that was one of the things the WPA trucks would drop off.
And do you remember, as a boy, having a thought in your mind, an ambition, a dream? Hey, someday this is what I'm going to become. This is what I want to do for a living. This is who I want to be.
Yes. I had a mentor and a cousin who was fantastic student. He went to Rensselaer as a prep school for his West Point test, and he made it to West Point, and that was a huge event. The Grays in their uniform. No, I couldn't. I was too young to go along with my folks, but they did that big trip from Hamburg to West Point, and they had blankets and lunches and so for extra water, you name it. But that was quite an event for them. And I wanted to do what he did. He became an officer in the Army. I thought that was pretty terrific. But I didn't figure I was ever going to be mentally capable of doing what he did. He retired as some sort of a general. He was my mentor.
What was his name?
Richard Meyer. But he was my inspiration to go ahead and do the collegiate some way or other, which the GI Bill was the route I was given. And that was, in my estimation, one of the finest public laws that I've seen in my lifespan. That did more good for more people and for the country. A tremendous number of gentlemen, and by that time, women who would not have had an opportunity to go to college had that opportunity along with their military service. True, it was a very expensive way to get an education. Some made it and some did not. And by that I mean the heroes are out there in the cemeteries, the real heroes. And I guess I reaped many of the benefits as a result of their sacrifices.
Well, and haven't we all? That's what this program is all about. We're going to find out just how far the GI Bill took Lester Burgwardt when we come back. But before he could take advantage of that, there was the matter of his World War II service in the Navy and a non-combat injury that would affect him for the rest of his life. Head over to hometownheroesradio.com or the Hometown Heroes Facebook page for photos and a short video with Mr. Burgwardt, and we'll be right back after this. When life throws you curveballs, you have to be adaptable, or at least have a good pinch hitter on the bench who knows how to handle a curve. When it comes to your business, Provident Payments is the best teammate you could ever have. Perhaps it helps that many of the leaders for one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America are former ballplayers. Contactless payments, online ordering, point of sale, you name it, Provident Payments knows it. Now, you could get some of these services from one of the big banking companies, but you're never going to get the kind of personalized service that Provident Payments delivers every day. 24/7 solution-based tech support. When your ability to process payments goes haywire in any way, time is money. So would you rather wait on hold for who knows how long, or would you like to have a direct line you can call for immediate help? That's where a good teammate comes in. Learn more about bringing Provident Payments onto your team at providentpayments.com. They really are one of the fastest growing payment consultants in America. That website again, providentpayments.com.